Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, trail camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. Today is an Ornithology episode. It's a new month.
It is.
Cindy Pope put out a new episode, or a new episode. Yeah, she does episodes now, guys. Cindy Pope put out a new magazine earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty good one. I read through it. Not a whole lot of, like, hard-hitting articles that would be good audio-wise. But there was one that seems to really be interesting to anyone who likes Alaska, the Great North Frontier.
Oh, yeah. Be kind of cool here to go to at some point.
God, I would love to go to Alaska, dude. Overlanding in Alaska would be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, it would be.
So, this is by Scott and Ashley. There are way too many... Or there are not enough vowels in that last name. I cannot pronounce it.
I mean, look.
H-R-N-C-I-R-I-K. Hernkirik? Hornsirik?
Sorry for butchering.
Yeah, sorry, Scott and Ashley. That's a hard one to say. Maybe if I heard it once, I'd understand it from there on out. But yeah, we'll get right into it. And this one, part one. It's a two-parter. Part one kind of gives some. Looks like 10 tips, and then it looks like part two is about living in Alaska full time. All right. This will be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So, part one, the epic family expedition. Being in Alaska is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that offers stunning landscapes and abundant wildlife. However, this wonderland has rough edges and thorns, as you can find yourself in rugged environment and unpredictable weather that can quickly turn into a survival situation very quickly. A little redundancy there, but that's okay. Here are some essential tips that we picked up on our journey from Alaska that will help ensure your safe and enjoyable trip. Number one, prepare for unpredictable weather. Alaska's weather can change rapidly and without warning, even in summer months. Be ready for rain, wind, and even snow, depending on how far north you are or how high in elevation you are. Pack waterproof gear, insulated sleeping bags, even in the summer. Lots of layers and extra boots. You know, I really feel like that's kind of a given.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Alaska.
Yeah.
Tip two.
Compared to their season so far this year, they haven't really had a lot of snow. They've been dealing with rain for
a lot of snow.
I'm trying to think, because I was following the guy that does Truck Life, and mm-hmm. I guess they didn't get snow until like almost February.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
but also I know he lives in the southern part of Alaska, so.
Ah, okay. Tip two. Be bear aware. Store dry foods in bear-proof containers and do not cook where you plan to set up camp to sleep. Never leave smelly food in your tent. Carry bear spray and know how to use it. Make noise while hiking. So, they don't say it, but do they mean like 9mm bear spray or like bear spray? Personally, I'm more apt to carry the 9mm variety.
Yeah.
Maybe even 45, you know, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe something over the shoulder.
maybe some 5.56 semi-auto, quote-unquote semi-auto bear spray would be good. Tip three, plan for extended remote camping challenges. Many remote villages do not have gas stations or grocery stores that stay open past 5 p.m. or earlier. Depending on your routes, plan out gas station routes and make sure that they are even still in service. There were many places we thought were still operational, as Google had stated, but were in fact not. Bring extra fuel cans and keep them filled at all times. You never know when you might need them, or even lend a helping hand. Having extra food like dried food as well, just in case you end up with the vehicle trouble or even inclement weather, you'll have an extra stash. We ran into a situation where one of the kids ended up sick from motion sickness. You know, that in most places in the United States, I feel like extra fuel cans aren't as big of a deal because you're never more than 20 miles from a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't make it to a gas station that's 20 miles away, then you have very drastically been unprepared and did not keep track of your fuel gauge. Matt's off-road recovery.
Okay, his doesn't work, though, so for his gauges.
But, you know, in most of America, really extra fuel isn't that big of a deal. Somewhere like Alaska, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's especially necessary
during the winter season.
Yeah, I mean, you've got not only long stretches of distance between each gas station, mm-hmm. but there's always a chance that said gas station isn't a gas station anymore.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Especially if they don't update stuff like they're supposed to. But
right. Step 4, protect yourself from mosquitoes. Certain areas in Alaska, the mosquitoes can be horrendous. No amount of bug spray thermocells can put a dent in them. Pack long sleeves and pants. The waterproof gear will ensure they cannot bite you through your clothes. Even head net that secures around your shoulders is essential.
Hmm.
Are they really that bad? Like, I've been to Louisiana during the bad season, and those mosquitoes can carry a small baby away.
I don't know. I haven't really dealt with mosquitoes besides Michigan time. But, of course, like, yeah.
I mean, always take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's important. But
yep.
Tip 5. Prepare for limited daylight or too much daylight. In summertime, you will want either a sleep mask or a blackout tent. In wintertime, make sure you have plenty of backup flashlights and batteries. And headlamps or any light source. And be aware that in cold temperatures, battery life is significantly diminished. That is a very true fact. Yep. Back when I used to vape, if it was cold out, I would get an hour of vaping out of a set of batteries. Like, it was rough.
Yeah.
Some batteries do better than other. Lithium ion, not your best choice in the winter.
No.
Something like, I think it's, was it NIM or whatever that does better in winter?
Mm-hmm.
But either way, battery life is diminished.
Yep.
Number 6, know how to handle wildlife encounters. There are many other animals to look out for other than bears. Elk, moose, and wolves are even more common to see than bears in certain areas. Keep a safe distance. Never feed them.
Yep.
And carry your 9mm bear spray. I don't know. Or elk spray. It's good for elk, too.
Animal spray.
And let it be known that the elk is the most dangerous animal in Alaska.
Is it? I thought the moose was.
Oh, I meant moose. I was thinking of a moose. You're right. Yeah, no. Yeah. The moose
those,
is the
those guys are big.
One.
Those guys are big.
Yeah, dude, have you ever seen a moose?
I'm not. But I've seen footage.
Oh, my
they're,
God.
They're huge.
They're freaking... They're like real-life dinosaurs, man.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, I know they're not lizards, but, like, they are huge fauna. Like,
yeah.
They are real-life dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Respect leave no trace principles. Alaska's wilderness is pristine. Let's keep it that way for future generations. We came across many camp areas that were littered with garbage and waste. We took extra time to clean up things we could. However, broken glass creates quite a hazard, especially with pets and kids. So be aware of the ground too. Bring claws to grab trash, even rubber gloves. Pack out what you pack in, even food waste. No need for animals to start coming into camp. Stay on established trails and campsites. It's another one of those everywhere. These are practices we should 100%, be following.
100% practice everywhere.
I mean, we see it here in Michigan. You know of places right here in Newaygo County we've went to that are just absolutely freaking mm-hmm. trashed.
I mean, look at Thursday that... weekend, was it, with all the tampons?
Oh, my God. That was so gross, dude. They were everywhere, too. And they weren't fresh tampons. They were used.
Yeah.
And it was like, we'd get out of the truck at our campsite. Boom, there's a new tampon that we somehow missed. I mean, they were just, oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
Number 8, be prepared for water crossings. Some trails will require river or stream crossings, depending on the time of day and time of year. We'll determine whether... Sorry, this is kind of a weird bit here. Basically, depending on time of day and time of year, depends on how high the water will be.
Yeah.
Always check water depth where it is questionable. Never assume a river is crossable. Unbuckle your backpack if crossing on foot and use stability poles. Unbuckle seatbelt if crossing in a vehicle in case you need to get out quickly. If you got to get out of your vehicle quickly and you're in a remote area, you're probably dead. Like, let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
I mean, check the damn water. That's...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. We do that in mud.
We do that in mud all the time. Oh. Was it Connor still up in Drummond?
Yeah.
We didn't check that, yeah. But... That was a blind shot.
We knew it was crossable.
Yeah.
Logs going across and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, choose the best season for traveling. Summer to June through August, best for warm weather, but also the busiest and full of mosquitoes. Fall to September and October, fewer crowds and no mosquitoes, but much colder temperatures. Winter through November through March. Man, this article is kind of a mess. Ideal for experienced campers with correct gear. I would agree. I think I would prefer to go camping in Alaska in the winter.
Oh, yeah. It would be kind of cool.
Is it going to be cold?
100%.
Is it going to be hard? Yes. But attacking Alaska in the worst condition is going to make me feel so much better when we get through it.
Yep. I agree with that.
April and May still will be cold in many areas with lots of snow and wildlife. Starts to become more active. Yeah. Okay, I mean, summer, for someone who doesn't want a challenge, summer's probably the best bet.
Yep.
But for people like us that like to make things as hard as possible,
mm-hmm.
Winter. So, choose your campsite wisely. Never camp too close to water sources, as water may rise overnight. Avoid cliff sides for overnight, as wind will always change direction, unless you are willing to leave in the middle of the night. Overlanding in Alaska is an adventure like no other. Being prepared for anything nature or life will throw at you will not only ensure your safety and your traveling partner's safety, but will ensure you have the best experience the last frontier has to offer. Are you ready? Are you planning a trip to Alaska? Let us know. Okay, so they're basically just giving you their contact info from there.
Mm-hmm.
And their Adventure Further Off-Road is their...
handle?
I'm sure they have an Instagram and stuff. But yeah, they've got something on YouTube. And I guess they're contributing something to the More Momentum magazine. That's pretty cool.
Hmm. I'll check them out
then. Yeah, I mean, those seem to be good tips. By the way, their rigs are sick. I don't know if you have the article pulled up.
I have it pulled up. I kind of briefly looked at it. Oh, yeah.
They've got a couple JKUs with Aluma caps on them.
Yep.
And then an awesome freaking camper setup. I mean, these are some sick rigs.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They'll be chapter art. So.
Yep. 100% chapter art. That looks like a full-on what we would do if we had those.
I mean, I prefer a two-door Jeep.
Oh, no, I know. I was just looking at it. It's very...
If I were to build a Jeep, that is very much so my style of Jeep. It's the right color, too.
It's a very military-looking trailer as well, especially with the identification tags and stuff.
Oh, I didn't even... You're right.
Top right.
Yeah, super sick build. Either way, lots of money sitting right there.
A lot of money sitting right there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Someday we should do an Alaska trip. I think it would be an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a situation where... We quit our jobs, and we just go to Alaska for a couple months.
Yep, I agree with that.
Like that would be... And we'll start in Alaska in the wintertime, work our way down, go all the way down to the Panama Canal. We'll spend 3 years going across the Bering Gap. It'll be great, man. Have the first Toyotas that drove from top to bottom... Without skipping the gap.
Oh, without skipping the gap. Got it.
Yeah, the only vehicle that's done that entire route without skipping the gap has been the Jeep.
Hmm. I guess I never realized that.
Everyone else uses a ferry to get across the gap.
I guess, according to what I understood, they took a couple of the Corvairs through the gap at one point.
Hmm. I think that those are the ones they put on a boat and went down the river.
Okay, that might make more sense. That might make more sense.
So, the Jeep's the only one that has done the Berrien Gap on land.
Okay.
Which would be... I'd say it'd be a blast, but it would actually suck. Like, it would really suck so much.
Yeah, that's quite the story to hear about.
Yeah, if anyone wants to hear that story, Newfound Overland
has
an interview. We'll link it in the show notes, because I cannot remember.
Someone else was actually interviewing her, too. I just saw something posted about an interview with them.
Huh. I know she's doing... I cannot remember that lady's name. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. But I know she's going to do the Revel Rally this year, which is going to be sick.
Yeah, because I remember...
And Benji is... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember seeing a post on Instagram. I just don't remember which podcast was going to do an interview with her. It showed her in front of the Jeep and stuff and saying they're doing an interview with her. I just didn't catch when or who it was again.
But yeah, it'd be a fun trip, dude.
Mm-hmm. That would be a fun trip.
Dream expedition.
That's definitely a dream expedition right there.
All right, well, let's move on and read some part two here. So part two, living in Alaska full time. This is by Michael Hayden. So this is a completely different person. Who has a Nissan Frontier. Did I ever think I would live in Alaska? No. Have I taken advantage of it? Not even close. There is so much to see, and it is so overwhelming, because Alaska is just right out my front door and back door, so I feel like I haven't done much. Then I start thinking about all the stuff I have done so far. Dog sledding, sat front seat in a bush plane as we flew over a glacier. That would be so much fun.
That would be fun.
I've flown in those little planes. Mm-hmm. I actually did a flight from Colorado to Michigan in a 2-seater plane, mm-hmm. paid for by the Army, and it's a whole different world from flying commercial, dude.
I can believe that.
I don't know. I was coming home from Korea, and I don't know why they didn't give me a normal commercial flight. Like, that would have made sense. But no, I'm I didn't know. I'm at the airport, and I'm like, all right, I've never heard of this airline before. And I'm walking through all the, the terminals. And it's like, all right, there's United. All right, there's Spirit, and there's all the big name ones. And I'm like, man, where is mine? And I'm looking at it, and it doesn't say terminal number. It says hangar number. And that's when I realized that I've got something weird going on. So I went up to the help desk, and they actually called the pilot, and he came and got me and helped me bring my gear to the plane. So for whatever reason, the Army paid for a single pilot and a single passenger to fly from Denver, Colorado, all the way to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
It sounds like someone decided to pull a last-minute prank on you as you left.
Dude, I think... So the Army buys most of their tickets, like, at the cheapest rate possible.
Yeah.
And the pilot was telling me that he was flying to Grand Rapids anyway. So I'm wondering if he just happened to have his ticket priced really low because it was an already routine flight.
Yep.
And the Army just picked up. I don't know. It was fun, dude.
Yeah.
The guy was a blast. We talked the entire flight. And it probably is my favorite flying experience I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that.
Oh, I got lost here. Oh.
Bush plane.
Sat front seat in a bush plane as we flew over a glacier. Saw whales bubble hunt. Looked a brown bear in the eye before she ran off. Rode a horse on a beach. Helped guide a group of influencers and BFG people for the KO3 tire launch. That would be fun. All in the first year and a half of being here. It's been crazy. I've explored a ton of roads, looking for any hidden gems. I have found several once-in-a-lifetime camping spots. These are spots you talk about for the rest of your life. Spots where you just stand there looking mouth open, but then a mosquito flies in and you're reminded about the state bird. Okay, so apparently mosquitoes in Alaska are bad.
I guess.
I never would have guessed. A whole new world. I remember when I landed in Anchorage and Craig from Alaska Overlander picked me up and drove me to my truck. Alaska felt like a foreign country. Familiar, but different at the same time. I felt like any wrong turn would be my last, and we would run out of gas and get eaten by bears. I know unfounded, until you hear about how many people go missing every year. Don't worry about that. Alaska is amazing. Don't tell me what to not worry about. The rules are different up here. Be a little louder at camp. It's okay. It's Alaska. It's better to be heard. Think of it like hiking. You're making noise while hiking to keep animals away. I'm not saying be annoying, just be heard. It's okay. The biggest fear is moose. Bear will avoid you as much as possible. Moose just don't care. I say that, but I'm pretty sure Bigfoot was watching me during my first solo camp here in Alaska. Peeping Tom, what a weirdo. Just watching me from the bushes. Unless it says you cannot camp there, you can. It is still hard for me to truly wrap my brain around it. You will know what I mean when you get here. Strange turnoffs. Yep. So, I mean, that's not too much different from Michigan. You can camp anywhere in Michigan, whether it says you can or not. As long as it doesn't specifically say no trespassing or no camping.
Yep.
You can drive down most roads unless it says not to. Sounds straightforward until you come up to a pipeline road. But yes, you can. Unless it says you cannot. Well, that's the way it was explained to me. Yeah, we got to go to Alaska, man.
Yes.
I'm looking at these pictures and these articles, and it solidifies my want for Alaska so bad.
Oh, yeah.
A photographer's dream. Have your camera ready all the time. Moose, bears, porcupines, and seaplanes can jump out at any time, anywhere. There are so many opportunities for photographers, it just never stops. From season-changing landscapes, the unique festivals scattered all over the state, 4th of July car launch, which might have ended last year.
What?
What? Call your senator today, because if so, this wrong must be righted. Why would they cancel that?
That's like a major thing for them. And the guy from Truck Life is going to build one out for that.
And it's funny because it really wasn't that big of an event, and then,
well, I think they got pretty outrageous this last year, actually, kind of think about it. I think they got some of them launched pretty far.
I was saying, the last 10 years, it's been getting worse and worse, and so many people from all over the U.S. go up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see how it could now be getting dangerous just based off crowd size.
Yeah.
It'd be not the worst thing for them to do, like a ticket system where, you know, you pay $50 a ticket and, you know, obviously the citizens of the city get free tickets.
Oh, 100%.
But anyone trying to come in tourist wise, $50 a ticket. If you don't have a ticket, you can't come in the city, period.
Yep. That sounds fair to me.
Never-ending adventure opportunities. It is crazy how much is here. I feel like I have done a ton, but I still feel like I haven't done much because it is so big. I have driven multiple states since I've been here. The Kenai Peninsula is over half the size of Oklahoma. I drive 45 minutes to work, and that's nothing. When I say Alaska is big, from my house to Fairbanks is like driving through three states. It's a 10-hour drive. So,
yeah.
The length of Michigan, basically.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
Alaska has been amazing. I finally feel settled in now. The truck is dialed in. Spring is around the corner. Everything is set and ready. Follow me on social media and reach out. Let me know when you are here. We'll tag these people's names.
In 100%.
Yeah, because the stuff that they get to do is just, it's worth following along.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, moving to Alaska would be a blast, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Screw just doing an overland trip. Let's just go live in our trucks in Alaska.
I don't think your wife would appreciate that.
My wife already told me we can't live in the truck and we can't move to Alaska. So my dreams are shattered. Yeah. Definitely listeners need to get on and check out Northology, though. They've got a lot of really cool articles.
Mm-hmm.
Just like any magazine, some months are better than others. This month, I would say, was more picture-heavy than
definitely normal. Oh, definitely picture-heavy.
So that's a little harder to put across on a podcast. But, I mean, it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, now we should get into Boost. Yeah, so if you didn't know, we don't talk about it a whole lot. We need to get better about that. But we are a value for value podcast. We're supported by Boost, and soon I think I'm going to set up a PayPal account so that people can send money in that way. The cool thing about value for value is it keeps us from having to sell out and do sponsored content.
Yep.
So when you hear us say something's good, it's because we actually think it's good, not because we were told to tell you it was good.
Yep. Yep. I think that's how we're going to want to stay that way.
Yeah, I would much prefer to stay value for value. But with that being said, we need to get better about this too, but every episode we'll have a little Boost segment where we read Boosts sent in by listeners. Listener Magnolia Mayhem finally responded. Man, how long ago did we have that other episode? So Magnolia Mayhem boosted in back in January 14th about our conspiracy episode that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling us about a plane that he had seen when he was working for the government. Well, he finally boosted back and said, "I have found the plane." And then he sent a link. We'll tag it in the show notes. Yep. It apparently belongs to NASA. The flameshower should be in Matrix DMs. I was clearing land on the land. So the backstory on that is that Magnolia is the very first Botches Off-Road listener to listen while wielding a flamethrower. So, but yeah, I'd really like to grow this Boost segment. So if people want to boost in, please do. I will do an entire episode about how to set LB up or how to set Fountain up. We'll have all of it laid right out and make it as easy as possible for you to get into that system.
Yep.
It's a whole lot of fun. The value for value model was started by the No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. So if there's any other douchebags in here, definitely give them a shout out. But yeah, man, that was a pretty good episode.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot coming up here pretty soon. It's the start of the season. Yeah. I mentioned on what will be Friday's episode that we will be going to Rocks and Valleys this weekend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't break anything, but we'll be testing out my newly rebuilt rear end, so that'll be great.
Newly front built front end.
Well, on yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of testing.
Damn. Have you gotten any updates on your bumper?
I have not. I meant to look today. I think it just says that it's in process of being ready for ship. I don't know. That means it's still being put together. It's a very loosely term.
Because I know that it was, what, like 8-week lead time or something like that?
Yeah, but I think they might have extended it. Like, they might have to wait for materials. It's gonna be close. It's going to be close. But from what I gather, God, it'll be there for a trip. Be there for Leatherwood.
It sure will suck. It sure would suck for it not to be there before Leatherwood. But, yeah, that's going to be a really fun one. Making the front of the Tacoma not look like an Amazon special.
Yes.
The back will still look Amazon special.
Oh, 100%. The back is still like Amazon special for another year.
Does the... And the taco sits level now with the Icon front shocks, right?
From what I can gather, yes. It looks like it's level. It doesn't have the Carolina squat like it did. It wasn't too bad, but you definitely noticed it when you loaded it.
Yeah. So, still probably need to do rear springs at some point.
Probably. It might hold off until after Leatherwood, but I haven't figured that one out yet.
They work for now.
Mm-hmm.
They look way better than they did, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, $200 Icon shocks putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Best deal I've gotten in a long freaking time. Oh, I sold my King Ranch seats today, so...
Nice.
After... My 4-year investment is over. I made $300 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I listed them for $500, complete set of King Ranch seats in good condition without any tears. Basically, I mean, beautiful seats.
Yeah.
And I sold them for $500 and then later found out I should have listed them for like $1,500. But... I mean, still, I made $300 on them.
Yeah,
I can't complain.
No. You made more out of it than what you did originally when you bought it.
And someday, I will buy another OBS Ford, and I will regret my decision to sell my King Ranch seats. But
yeah.
They're going in a white dually OBS Ford that is coming swapped.
Pretty intriguing. A lot of people do coming swap, so I'm not surprised, but...
They do, but it's a pretty sick build, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Cummins swap or not, it's a sick build.
I think the Cummins is pretty much the LS of the diesel.
Yeah, I can see that. No one swaps 7.3s. They build them if they're already in their truck, but no one just swaps a 7.3 into something.
Yeah.
The thing is, especially 12 valves, dude, because they're only, it's like one or two wires to run a 12 valve.
Mm.
Like, you can put a 12 valve in fucking anything. Let's 12 valve swap your taco.
I'm good for now.
But on that note, I really don't have anything else that the listeners need to hear. What about you?
Not much. Oh, you want to talk about what I showed you earlier about Jeep? Or are you going to say that for something else?
Oh my God, Jeep and their freaking ads. So, apparently, I got to do some more research on this before I just start spewing this crap.
Yep.
Apparently, Jeep is doing pop-up ads in the infotainment center whenever you stop a truck. So, you're in a Wrangler, you come to a stoplight, and a Coca-Cola ad pops up on your infotainment center.
Yep.
This is the end of the world. This is how it ends.
And single dens are going to be a popular thing now because no one wants to see ads.
We're being assaulted by ads from every single front, dude.
Oh, I know.
That's why we're value for value instead of being ad supported. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to be another reason that someone has to listen to an ad.
Yeah.
And let's say we did dynamic ads, right? Dynamic ads, we don't even know what they're selling, using us to sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be anything. They could be selling fucking tampons.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get interrupted in the podcast for someone to sell a goddamn tampon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Gavin could get interrupted to sell a tampon, and he'd probably sell a lot of them. And he's not here to defend himself, which makes it even better.
We love you, Gavin.
Gavin could even sell a condo, dude. People would hear his voice, and they'd be like, man, I don't want to have a kid like that. Just kidding. Love you, Gavin. You're just not here, so you're the one I'm picking on.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm scared for a future where that's the norm.
Oh, I know.
It reminds me of what is the movie that everyone's gets dumber?
Is it an Adam Sandler movie?
No, it wasn't Adam Sandler.
No. I'm thinking of the one where it's in the future and they had like a dumb president and everything and they were the only smart ones that came to the future.
Idiocracy.
Oh, okay.
And there's a comment in Idiocracy. Pretty sure it's in that one. And they're like, we can show over 70% of the screen can show ads before we induce epileptic seizures. So the dude's watching a TV show about people getting kicked in the nuts, and over 70% of the screen is ads.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I think we're headed there, and it really worries me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an America problem. It's an everywhere problem.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Let's say you're running Windows, which I know neither of us are running Windows.
Oh, nope.
Let's say you're running Windows. You open up your start menu. What do you have right there? Ads.
Ads.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, that's like half your apps that are free to play, but you got ads to every other game you play, depending on what type of app you download or game you downloaded.
Ads alone are why I cannot mobile game. I think that mobile gaming is really cool. Being able to just pull out a device anywhere you're at and start playing a game is really cool.
Yep.
But having an ad every 10 seconds keeps me from wanting to do it. And then, on top of that, you've got games that are fully ad-supported where you have to watch an ad to get in-game currency to be able to progress. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Screw that.
Yep.
And that's why we bought our cheap Temu. Yes, I said Temu while talking about not liking ads. I know, it's hilarious. That's why we bought our cheap Temu game emulators that'll be here this week.
Yeah, I hope that works out for us in some degree.
Dude, I paid $30 for two of them. There's no way they're great.
I know.
I just want to play Minish Cap and have real buttons.
Speaking of which, that's been all my Instagram feed is just emulators.
Me too. What the fuck? What have you done to me? Instagram, Facebook, they're both just serving me emulators. And I'm like, yeah. I just bought some.
Yeah.
And my phone doesn't even have a Google account attached. And Facebook is sandboxed. So it's not my fault. It's your fault.
It's just like, Alan has to show me almost every video, and then I end up either seeing it before him or shortly after I see it the first time. Like, okay.
And I don't do TikTok or Reels at all, so every time I show one of you guys a video that I happen to come across, you're like, oh, yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, damn it. I've got nothing unique. I'm not the meme lord anymore.
No.
What you drinking today, Mark?
I'm drinking one of the 43s.
Oh shit, you're having good beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be hilarious to the listeners because they definitely don't know what I'm drinking. It's an El Chavo. Like always.
As always.
Yeah. But alright, man. I know this is a little bit shorter of an episode, but we have a third of our content missing. So.
I was about to say, yeah, we're short of guys. So it's kind of hard to get all that content in for an hour.
But, all right. Well, we'll catch you guys later.
Yeah, later.